It's time for Marquette College Game Day, powered by ESPN Milwaukee.
Ball knocked, stolen away. We got Nigel James. It's showtime. Yeah, he'll hammer it. No windmill, though. He set a standard so high that I go, and that was pretty good.
Presented by Pottawatomie Sportsbook and sponsored by National Liquor Mart, Cousin Subs, Exterior Pros, Matrix Basement Finishing, and Marquette Athletics.
He'll try another one. Stevens in the right. It's good.
He's feeling good right now.
He's now made six threes.
Now live from Pfizer Forum, here's Matt Yazel and Will Summers.
Marquette College Game Day on the road edition as the Golden Eagles in their penultimate game of this Big East regular season are in Providence, Rhode Island to take on the Providence Friars. We are not in Providence and we're not at Pfizer Forum. We are at the brand new Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Matt Yazel, Will Summers with you here. Special edition of Marquette College Game Day on the road. And Will, we were at Pfizer Forum on Sunday.
It was unfortunately
a celebratory day. It was a fun show. Marcus Howard has his jersey unveiled in front of the fans at Pfizer Forum. Looks great. It was a great ceremony. And we were pretty excited for a Marquette game that we were both pretty confident going in. One of the first games all season that you and I were both very confident about a win going into the game. And boy, were we wrong. 14 points in the first half for the Golden Eagles against their rival DePaul. By the way, Chicago just putting it on the city of Milwaukee.
What was
on
that?
Sunday. Just incredible.
So for those of you that don't know, I believe it was 92 students traveled on fan buses from DePaul to Marquette. And during the game, I kept hearing people cheering for DePaul. And I couldn't tell where it was coming from. And I looked up in like the 400 section, there was just a bunch of DePaul students giving it to Marquette.
Yeah. It's their year. They haven't had a year in a long time. First sweep for DePaul against Marquette since the 90s. Good season for them. Again, we gave them some credit before the game and give them more credit now. Best season for them in a long time. 62-51. Marquette came back, right? Give them credit as well. They certainly came back after they were dead in the water in the first half. Shaka Smart said post-game, it's the first time in a while his team had that deer in headlights look that they had a lot early in the season in the non-conference and early on in Big East play. Man, I mean, where do you even start with this game?
I mean, I feel like we were just starting to get to the point where we're like, hey, like during the second half of the season, they've played like one of the better teams in the Big East. You know, I know things haven't really gone their way at the end of games, you know, who's going to take the last shot, all that, this, that, and the other. And then it just all reverted back to, I don't know, I want to say like late December, like the way that they've been playing. I mean, 14 points is horrid. I mean, Shock Smart said it. They looked like the deer in headlights. I believe you said that as well. And it's not like DePaul was exactly lighting it up. Like, I don't think they played extremely well in the first half. But then they just went on a 21-1 run. And it didn't even feel like that. Like, it didn't even feel like DePaul was like, man, they can't miss. It was just Marquette couldn't score. And, I mean, outscoring DePaul by 7 points in the second half and still losing by 11, that tells you all you need to know.
0 for 10 from 3 in the first half, 5 for 22 from the field. You're right. It didn't feel like a 21-1 run because it was over such a long period of time. I don't think Marquette had a field goal in the last, like, 7 minutes of the first half. And I just...
And what do you know? The 1 point is from making one of the two free throws. 11 for 22 on free throws on Sunday afternoon, 50% again.
That's a great call out.
It's one thing to not be able to score, you know, hit field goals or threes, but when you're missing the points that they're giving you, that's another thing, you know? Like, sometimes the ball's not going to go your way, but when you're missing, like, the fouls and the free throws, that's what really angers me.
Right, because they were so bad in the first half offensively. Really, throughout the game, they were. But at the end of the day, they got themselves within 3 points late in the second half. They ended up losing by 11. But you knock down your free throws, you could easily have won this game or at least have changed things a lot in those final few possessions. It's just another one of those bugaboos that has been all season long for Marquette. And it really rears its ugly head when Nigel James isn't scoring 38 points like we'll talk about he did in the last matchup against Providence.
Right, and he was, you could feel his presence on the court because when he wasn't there, it felt like they had nothing offensively. 7 rebounds too. Marquette allowed DePaul to get a lot of offensive rebounds. Like, that, those are the two things you can't let happen, is giving up offensive rebounds and missing free throws. It is going to be nearly impossible to win college basketball games if those are the two things that you're really letting up. And Nigel James having seven of those rebounds, it was like, it just felt like he was doing it all out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of his strength and why we get so excited about him, because he has hops like he's on a trampoline, and he's putting up highlights every single day. He had a couple more in that DePaul game that made that second half fun for you and everybody else that were in the stands, who really suffered through that.
The Marcus Howard jersey retirement saved everyone. Like, that was too. Such a heartfelt moment. He gave such a good speech that it was like, okay, now I understand why I'm sitting here.
For sure.
Still.
In the second to last home game of the season, it's been a fun season at Feister Forum, despite the season overall for Marquette. Like, really, most games at Feister have been competitive. There's been none of these, blowout games at home. We'll see what happens against UConn. Hopefully not. But, it's senior day. UConn's got what they need locked up. So, hopefully we have some fun on senior day. But it's been a fun season at Feister Forum. Just, man, what a disappointing penultimate game there against DePaul. And DePaul finishes the season sweep over Marquette. Not what you wanted. As you know, because this is the time of year for Marquette where it's like, okay, you know your fate, right? Unless you find some Georgetown magic in the bottle, like, you're not going to go to the NCAA tournament. You're just playing for, kind of next year and improving yourself as a player and improving yourself as a team at the end of this season. And that's just kind of a setback to me to see them play that way after so long of not seeing that.
Or they just heard me before the game talking about how their easiest path to a Big East championship is actually getting the last seed.
Yes.
Do you think that's a possibility at all?
I think Shaka had the radio on in the locker room. Said, go out there.
Said, you know what?
Score 14 points.
He's right.
Will guy, he knows what he's talking about.
And it would have been nice, too, if they did win, actually, because then I believe that would have guaranteed... Well, actually, no. They probably still would have got 20 losses, right? I was thinking they got to win today and against UConn now to confirm them not having a 20-loss season, which is brutal. But, I mean, credit to DePaul. DePaul, they've completely turned the program around. They've made it exciting. The fans are bought in. The city's bought in. A lot of people who I didn't know were DePaul fans in Chicago coming out of the woodworks, now.
That's how all it works
of a sudden.
There,
but,
man.
Yeah, people saying that the Wisconsin sports are cursed ever since the Cubs brought out the L flag. But, yeah, this loss is more on Marquette than it is a win on DePaul,
For sure, yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll look at, you just mentioned the Big East standings. We'll look at that a little bit and maybe look at the Big East tournament and see what the possibilities are. There's a potential that Marquette and Providence will play each other twice in the next week, which is exciting given how great the first game was. But I also want to talk about some head coaches that are maybe on the hot seat in the Big East, because one of them is the coach that Marquette's about to play tonight in Kim English, and some other big-name head coaches. Who's on the hot seat? Who should be on the hot seat? And, of course, we've talked about it with Shaka Smart. We can put that conversation to bed. But we'll talk about all that coming up after this. This is Marquette College Game Day on your home of the Golden Eagles, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Special road game edition of Marquette College Game Day, as the Golden Eagles are in Providence, Rhode Island, taking on the Friars. Matt Yazel, Will Summers with you here from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Want to thank Pottawatomie Sportsbook for sponsoring this show all season long. We told you about their shuttles to Bucks games and everything else the sportsbook offers. What's the betting line tonight, by the way, Will?
Ooh,
you're the betting expert.
Great question. I did not look yet.
I think Providence is fried. Or
Providence
favored,
is fired.
Favored slightly, but I'm also curious at the over-under, because, as we know, the last game was an overtime thriller where both teams scored over 100 points, probably shattered the over in that one.
I'm getting Providence by 3.5 points, over-under set at 161.5, so seeing a lot more points. Do you think the sportsbooks know that Marquette scored 14 points last time out?
I think they watched something else on
that
Sunday.
Was the one thing that kept going through my head during the DePaul game, is I was sitting there and I was like, I am an idiot for not betting the under. Like, this was the easiest under of all time.
Yeah, for sure. Providence's offense can score. I don't think their defense is quite as good. So I could see Marquette kind of bouncing back and scoring some points in this one, but who knows? That's going to be the danger for Marquette. If they have another offensive performance like they did on Sunday, Providence's offense is
a
little bit more talented than DePaul's. But anyway, let's look at the Big East standings for a moment, because Providence is kind of one of those teams that the conference has been looking at as a pretty clear disappointment. They were coming into the season looking pretty clearly to be a top four team. I believe they were picked to finish fourth coming into the year, and now they're sitting in seventh, and there's a pretty clear consensus that Kim English, head coach, in just his third season, is his seat is like on fire, about to explode, and like he's about to be gone. And it seems even more so than any other Big East coach. And there's some coaches that are having disappointing years. I think Thad Matta is also potentially in that conversation. I think there's some other coaches that could or should be in that conversation. But what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think this is a coach that they're going to have to pay a hefty buyout to? And if I could start, like, the Big East is a conference full of schools that, you know, they're basketball-first schools.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's just a lot less tolerance for one bad season or two bad seasons. That's why the chatter for Marquette was loud this year when, you know, for Shaka Smart. It's like, man, they have one season that really goes downhill. But there's a group of the fan base that's just like, you know what, if you're a basketball school that dedicates all your resources to basketball, a season where you win right now 10 games is just completely unacceptable. And I understand that, but I think it's too reactionary.
It's such a weird time in college sports. And I think back to the Luke Fickell example, where has had, let's just say, disappointing tenure at Wisconsin so far. But they'd say this year they're going to invest more money into the football program. They're going to put more effort into the NIL program, so they keep him around, right? So it's kind of tough to gauge at times. Like, we don't know how much money Providence is putting into their basketball team, right? Like, Kim English might want to bring in new players and do other things with the program, but he might not just be getting the financial backing that he wants. But I also think on the flip side of that, like, you got to think about who you're dealing with here. The Providence Friar fan base, like, credit to them. They are the most, I would go as far to say they're the most passionate in the Big East. Those guys,
I think that's right.
Yes, and they are very angry with him, obviously. But I think, I mean, he's on a 3-game winning streak right now. I don't think.
Yeah, they're playing very well.
I'm surprised the front runner is not the man at Georgetown, who John Fanta said, I believe it was last night, looks like he was told it was 10:31 at McDonald's and they're out of sausage biscuits. Did you see that quote?
No,
Ed Cooley. Ed Cooley, I mean, right now Georgetown's on a 7-game losing streak. They're dead last in the Big East. And I feel like with Ed Cooley, you kind of know what you're getting, right? Like, with Kim English, I think there's so much untapped potential with this offense, like you mentioned, that it's very impressive. And it's kind of just, you know, you kind of know what you need to bring in next year. You know how you need to change and evolve in order to make this a winning basketball program. But with Ed Cooley, it's like, man, what more can he do? I don't think he can
Although, Ed Cooley was a pretty successful coach at Providence.
Yeah.
And I think in general, the reaction to him going to Georgetown was like, you know, first of all, crazy move to like backstab Providence like that. But second, like, it's going to be cool to see what he can do at like a Georgetown that is so desperate to win and is going to do anything they can to get their program back to being relevant. And we've just gotten nothing from
them. I mean, they're the most boring team in the Big East. Like, yeah. I don't think they have anything. Like, at least at Marquette, we got Nigel James. We got a bunch of young talent that's really fun to watch. Nigel James is making all these plays. I've watched both times they played Georgetown, and I'm like, I'm glad I don't have to watch a lot of those games. Those look incredibly boring. They just have nothing to root for. And then Ed Cooley's, you know, upset all the time throwing water bottles at people in the stands. So. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take him off the hot seat. I know we mentioned Thad Matta over at Butler and Kim English at Providence. I just think Kim English has not tapped his full potential yet, and I think as he keeps going at Providence, the Friar faithful is going to finally come around on him, you know?
The NIL point and just the program investing in, you know, certain programs, investing a lot, certain programs not, that's a good point in terms of Butler. Dan Hurley, when they played Butler, kind of went to Thad Matta's defense and basically said, like, it was kind of a dramatic quote, but it was like, when this was college basketball, like, Thad Matta was one of the best coaches. And, you know, he said it in an annoying Dan Hurley way, but basically his point is, like, you know, in the past, Thad Matta was one of the best coaches, and now because he's at a school that has not fully embraced the new era of college basketball, he hasn't found as much success. But I still think Butler fans would maybe disagree with that. Like, they went out and got transfers. Michael Ajayi, I believe, from Gonzaga. Like, they've gotten talent from outside, and he hasn't found a way to put it together. They've been probably one of the most inconsistent teams in the conference over the last couple of years, and that is something that you kind of look at the head coach and say, what's going on here?
Yeah, and I mean, going back to the Luke Fickell example, I hate that I keep using his name as an example. I'm sorry. I apologize. I know no one wants to hear it. But, like, think about next year. So if you give him all the resources, you give him all the money, you give all the effort into NIL, and he turns around this new team and they're just in the same spot, then I could be like, okay, you know what? You know, you're not cut out for this. You're not the right guy for the job. You can't function in this era of college sports. So I think, like, you have to give them time, too. Like, Thad Matta is more than an established head coach in college basketball, right? Like, you can't just, you know, take him out of the picture earlier on in his tenure here and just, like, say, you know what? You know, it's not working out. Because the university should look at themselves and be like, you know what? If we want this team to be successful in this era, we're going to have to spend money. We can't just keep pointing the finger at him. So it's actually crazy. I'm looking at the list of head coaches right now. There is a lot of job security on this list. Like, with Kevin Willard over at Villanova, he's secured, you know, his way for a couple of years. Shaheen Holloway at Seton Hall, you know, despite them not being great every year, has, you know, led them to a program record in wins and everything.
This was a huge year for him after a tough year last year.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of job security in the Big East right now, which
I'm
is exciting.
I'm curious about the other Pitino's future. Richard Pitino. I don't think he's on the hot seat now.
No.
But it has not been an inspiring start for him at Xavier.
Yeah, first year, again, like, always tough, but you thought you'd see a lot more from the guy, right? After what he did, UNLV, right?
Or New Mexico.
New Mexico, sorry.
Against
Donovan
Marquette.
Dent, yeah, in the first round.
Dent was a stud.
They were a force to be reckoned with in the tournament. So, yeah, very surprising because he's a big culture guy, too, and it seemed like he was really turning the culture around at Xavier where, you know, the community and the students and everyone else was starting to take the program seriously, and then they've just kind of thrown up a dud this season, which is unfortunate for them.
100%. Let's wrap up the show after this. We'll look one more time at that Providence game that was arguably the most fun game of the season for Marquette. Preview the game tonight as we wrap up Marquette College Game Day after this on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Wrapping things up here on Marquette College Game Day, special edition of the show with the team on the road in Rhode Island. Golden Eagles and Friars from Providence tonight, a 6 o'clock tip. Homer and Tony on the call, of course. Gabe Neitzel's up next with your network pregame coverage. Matt Yeza, Will Summers with you here. So, Will, I think the most fun game this season to watch as a Marquette fan. It was certainly fun to watch them kind of blow out Creighton, a bit of a fun surprise there. But now, in hindsight, Creighton's kind of having a tough year.
Yeah, that win doesn't really mean as much. It, like, at the time, you're like, dang, beat Creighton, let's go.
We might be back.
That was my, I always have this with every team I watch. I'm like a we're back moment. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're back.
Yeah, and this was a we're back to being not good
yes.
moment. last game against DePaul. But 105 to 104, Marquette beat Providence in overtime at Fiserv Forum. Nigel James Jr., a coming out party. There's been a few, but this was as big as 38 points, 8 assists on 13 for 20 shooting, 4 for 6 from deep. So would you agree that was the most fun game of the season?
Yeah, it was. That was the game with where Marquette missed the final shot, and then for some reason Providence fouled Ben Gold, right? Like, that was this game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was very lucky, but it definitely was, like, fun. It was one of those games where you could turn off your TV and then, like, see that they won and be like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty at the end, but it was certainly fun to watch. And it was stressful and fun at the same time to watch as a fan. I will certainly remember that as we move forward in the Nigel James Jr. era. Score prediction for tonight.
I'm going to go Providence 80, Marquette 77. I'm all in on the Big East tournament tank. Give us the last seed.
Wow.
Give us the Paul first round. Give us Villanova the second round. I'm predicting a loss now, but it's for the betterment of the team in the tournament.
Okay. I'm going to pick the road upset. I think Kim English's seat is hot, and we're going to make it hotter. I'm going to say Marquette 78, Providence 70. Mm. Road upset. Two straight road wins to end the Big East regular season after not winning a road game all year long. That does it for Matt and Will. Our thanks to Potawatomi Sportsbook. Next up, Gabe Neitzel with your network pregame coverage.